Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good Saturday evening, people. It is the year of our Lord, 2018. It is October the 27th, and we're really excited to be here tonight. We're going to do things slightly differently than we did the last several nights. Just to give you a brief recap, last week we had a very emotional show. I think it's probably one of the most emotional shows I've ever been on. In case you people that were out, we had Jacob Goodwin's mother on, Miss Tamara Goodwin. Jacob Goodwin was a hero at Charlottesville last year. He's in jail right now. I think he's doing about 8 year prison sentence for basically defending himself against a bunch of thugs. We had Jacob's mother on, like I say, and later we had the lady I thought who stole the show. She was a witness. She testified that Jacob Goodwin literally saved her life at Charlottesville last year, got her out, and later tried to come to the aid of some other people that were being beat. So if you want to, you can go into the archives at the Blood River Radio, www.bloodriverradio.com. I highly recommend you listen to those archives. But tonight, we're going to have two dynamite guests. We're going to have Inspector Jim Rothstein on. If you've never heard this guy, you're in for a treat. And later, the second hour, we're going to have a Pastor Thomas Robb coming on the second hour. He's going to talk to you about the Knights of the Klan in Arkansas. I promise you people, when I brought this show, that we were going to talk about the most taboo subjects there is. Nothing on Blood River Radio is taboo. Nothing is out of bounds. We're going to barbecue enough sacred cow that we can feed all of India. But before we go to our guest, I'm going to bring on my right-hand man, one of my dear co-hosts, Matt Goodwin, is going to come on, people. As you know, one of the things we're going to do in this show, we're going to always try to open it with a prayer, and I can think of no one better to open a prayer than Matt Goodwin. Matt, are you there, fella?
Hey, Eddie. I'm so sorry I missed last week. I really missed such a wonderful episode. I caught it on the archives. And first of all, let me tell you my own personal recap of that. And that's that our political prisoners are heroes. They absolutely are. And I can't say anything else except that, you know, I'm just tremendously proud of them and them remaining steadfast in their beliefs. So before I went on with the prayer, I wanted to read a passage of scripture that I thought was a good segue between then and this week's episode. And it comes out of James. It says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts, and in a day of slaughter you have condemned, you have murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains." And then earlier in the book in James, it says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." So, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I just thought that was a great segue between the political prisoners and the tonight's topic. So,
it Father, certainly was, Matt.
Father, we come to you. We pray that our brothers and who are listening, our brothers and sisters, test themselves and know whether you live in them. And it says, let us test our faith in 2 Corinthians. Father, I pray that we just come to you and recognize that we need to accept you as our Savior, Father. And I pray that they test themselves and know whether they have their faith in you, the giver of life. So, Father, guide us through these couple hours and these murky times we live in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Matt. Matt, you know, as you well know, last week's show was one of the very few times I've ever broken down. Probably the only time on the air I've ever broken down. I broke down a few times at our political cesspool family reunion party, as y'all all know. I felt really embarrassed about that. But, you know, I didn't mention on our opening series Jacob Goodman. I'd just like to recap this for last week, you know, what we did last week's show. Jacob Goodman called me from prison, about 10 days ago, prior to the last week's show. And I put money into this prison system just so we could talk back and forth, me and Jacob. He was going to come on our show. We tried to keep it secret, but somehow the beast found out about it, and they moved him. And this has, by the way, this connects with tonight's show with Inspector Jim Rothstein. To show you, it's going to show you what a criminal government we live in. But they've got him undergoing what they call diesel therapy. They move him from prison to prison to prison. The first time he was, they moved him. He had been in the Charlottesville prison system for over a year, and then when Blood River reached out to him and talked to him, within 36 hours, he was moved. Unknown, his mother didn't know where he was. No one could locate him at first. Then they moved him to this place called a Cottonwood prison, which is a pretty rough prison. And since that, it's my understanding, since then they've moved him several more times. Probably just as punishment, is just to tell Jacob and to tell people like us, don't try to go to prisoners to get the truth, or we will punish them. So I feel kind of bad, Matt, that I feel bad that I reached out to him, because I feel like he's being punished because of what we did, because of what I did. So. But, I mean, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, Matt. But, Matt, we're back to you, son. Give us your summary on what you think about the whole thing.
I think they certainly are trying to keep us from communicating with those that are in the system now. They're trying to torture us as much as they're trying to torture them and keep us from knowing what's going on. And they'll play this bounce-around charade as long as it takes to try to break us and break their spirits. But these people in prison, they in the system, like I said, the scripture says it very plainly. They just, let's pray that they be steadfast and remain in the faith, and just, you know, it's just gonna be hard times for all of us, really.
Matt, you mentioned you pray that our people will be tested. I pray that I won't be tested as hard as some of our ancestors were. Well, people, as you could hear, we're getting ready to go to a break. You may, in case you can hear the music, but we're getting ready to bring Inspector Rothstein up in a few minutes, and he is going to knock your socks off. See you in a few minutes, people.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I'm gonna grow.
Well, folks, I'm an old chunk of coal. I'm not going to deny it. But the fellow we're getting ready to bring up next is certainly not an old chunk of coal. It's Inspector Jim Rothstein. And I'm not going to bother with his bio. I'm going to let him give you a short bio before we delve into some really, really hair-raising topics. A lot of you people that have listened to the Political Cesspool in the past, we've had Inspector Rothstein on the cesspool. This will be the first time he's ever appeared on Blood River, and we're really, really excited about having him on here. Inspector Jim, what are you doing tonight, fella?
Well, I was waiting for you to call, and now we're ready to go. And by the way, don't forget it was Detective.
Well, I'll tell you what, Detective.
You've always called me Inspector.
Well, just for my ignorance, what's the difference? I mean, is a detective above or is Inspector above?
Oh no, detectives are just guys that do investigations. Inspectors were bosses. And I was
I'll tell you what,
thing from a boss you ever saw.
Well, in other words, you'd be like a buck private. Well, you know, I have my great co-host on the night, Matt Goodwin. He's in for a treat. I told him just to hold on his seat, put his seatbelt on. And Detective Rothstein, I'll just call you Jim because I feel like we're friends.
Good.
Why don't you,
give
the audience? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Give the audience a brief bio of where you've been. I've told, go ahead and I'm going to get out of the way. You tell them, I know you were in the Navy and then you did, start as a beat cop in Manhattan, and you can just take it from there, Jim.
Yeah, I first got involved in the weird stuff when I was in the Navy. I ended up going behind the Berlin Wall and buying the freedom of some spies, and then I was in the Bay of Pigs invasion on an aircraft carrier that for 50 years they denied that the USS Essex had been there, and all the things that happened on that. And then when I got out, I went back to New York, and I'm originally from Minnesota, and in 1965, I became a police officer in the New York Police Department. And it was about a year after I got in that because of all the prostitutes who came from Minnesota, and I being from Minnesota, the captain decided it would be a good idea if I worked, as he called it, my mess. And then I got into locking up hookers, and it wasn't long after that where I saved the life of a girl when they had pimps came to kill her. And that set me off. And once you do something like that and get the trust of these people, and eventually in that same year in 66, a New York plainclothes detective locking up prostitutes was killed by a pimp. And they realized that they had nothing. And I got cut loose and put in charge of finding out what was really going on in this underground, which also by this time I have been put into investigating the pedophile underground. And that's how I got into all of this stuff. That's how it all started.
I've got a question on that. Did you
go ahead, Matt.
Did you realize how deep this rabbit hole was going to take you when you first started?
No. When I first started locking up the girls, it took me 3 weeks to realize that all the conventional wisdom we had about prostitution was all false. And it was not long after that that I realized, I never to this day have figured out just how big it is, but I did go to some of the highest levels with it. But I knew right away everything we had. In fact, I'll give you an example. When the pimp killed that cop and the intelligence division gave me a file on the pimps, there was not one pimp in that file. They were all Murphy men. Murphy men were guys that would tell you they had a hooker for you, and they'd tell you to go up to this apartment with Mrs. Murphy on the door, you know. That's why they were called Murphy men, and there was nobody there, and they'd take the money and run. So that's when I realized. And when I got into the pedophile underground, I realized how deep it was.
Well, Jim, that was a great question, Matt. Jim, you know, you in previous shows and previous talks with you, you've referred to an area in Manhattan called the Minnesota Strip. And if I remember right, you said you, when you were pretty much still a young beat cop, you would see, I think, cars, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going back to memory, with the Washington, D.C. tags on them, and some pretty high up movers, shakers, politicians, you know, bankers, et cetera. Did you start noticing these high profile people getting into this pedophilia back in during your days of policing the Minnesota Strip?
Oh, yes, almost immediately. It wasn't so much that the license plates, but like I said, when I saved that lady's life, she ended up becoming one of the highest level call girls prostitutes in the country. And with that information, they would point these people out to me and give it that information to me. And it took to the very highest levels, both in business, the military, in government, and everything else.
You know, Matt, if you have any questions, you go ahead and we'll just take turns. I've got I'll let my co-host in. We're kind of in a remote situation.
Sure.
You have anything to add to that, Matt?
Yeah, well, I would like him to explain maybe when was the first time you realized a high-profile person? Can you explain that story or if you can
the
remember
very
that?
First, it wasn't long after I started locking up the prostitutes that I realized just how big it was, because we started seeing the people. We were out there every night, and we would watch this, because part of our job, locking up the girls for loitering for prostitution was easy. But what we were also, part of our assignment was to go into the bars, hotels, and stuff like that, and let them know who we were, so that if anything, we could find out what was really going on. So it was within the first 3 weeks that I saw the first high-level target, yeah.
Wow. Well, and would you say your leadership at the department, was it in the least bit culpable, or were they doing an investigation with a little bit of naivety maybe?
Oh, it was, yes. But what was interesting is that two of my bosses, one was a deputy inspector and the other was a lieutenant, were honest and very much interested in finding out the truth, because once we got started and after that cop got killed, we realized that they had nothing. And that's why the biggest part of my assignment was to find out what was really going on and what it was, because they had no idea. Everybody's got this idea about prostitution and stuff, but they're not wrong. They're not right. Even to this day, what you hear, they're talking about human trafficking, and yet they don't talk about going after the pimps. You know, it's just something that nobody has ever really looked at other than what we did. And we ended up in the New York Police Department, but the biggest problem we had were corrupt bosses and cops in the police department itself. We had to work around that.
Well, you know, that seems to be the problem everywhere. I know we're probably getting ready to go to a break in just a minute, Jim. But before even, and if we get cut off, we got to have to go to a break. Do you think we'll ever get? Let me ask one question now. But when we come back, I would like to get in to like to let people know that you have worked with the one and only Senator John DeCamp, and you've also worked with Ted Gunderson, and John DeCamp, Senator DeCamp, Ted, and special FBI agent Ted Gunderson, who was over, I think, the entire Bureau of Los Angeles. When we come back, Jim, let's talk about John DeCamp and Ted Gunderson and some of your work there. And I also like to get that one to Meyer Park. Anyway, we'll get to it when we come back after this break. But I'll just let you know what we're going to talk about in a few minutes. Bye-bye, folks.
Okay.
We'll come right back.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tified, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Well, dear beloved listeners, Blood River family, we are back. Before we go right back to Jim Brodstein, I'm just going to let you know, if you want questions to Jim Brodstein, you can send them to www.bloodriverradio.com. And the reason I'm saying that is because if God willing, if Jim Brodstein will agree, I want to bring him back several times in December, because there's just far too much. I've always wanted to have him on for a couple of hours, but there's far too much material. You have no idea what this man has been involved in. So if you will send questions, we will cover them in his next and upcoming visits. I mentioned before we went to the break, I mentioned Senator John DeCamp, who we've interviewed before on the cesspool, and I also mentioned Ted Gunderson. He was a special agent with the FBI. He had a huge 400 or 500 people working under him. They both, John DeCamp and Ted Gunderson, both, you might say that their lives are ruined for they started investigating the beast that Jim Rothstein has investigated. Jim Rothstein is the only person left of about, 25 or 35 people in a task force that's left alive. They all get rubbed out. But they were all fighting the same beast. Now, with that, I'm going to ask Jim a question or two, and I'm going to shut up and let him talk. And then after he talks a bit, then Matt can come in and ask him his questions. Okay, Jim, bless your heart for coming on tonight, fellow. I know, like I said, you worked closely with John DeCamp, and you were, I know, one of his confidants when he wrote the Franklin cover-up. I would urge people out there to read the Franklin cover-up. It's the most blood-chilling thing, most evil documentary you could ever possibly read. It's been tried to shut down by the government. Everybody and his mom has tried to shut down. He's also worked with Ted Gunderson that I just mentioned. And but anyway, so I guess I'll go back to the basics, Jim. What is the name of that park in New York? Was it Wontemeyer Park? Would you
Wontemeyer first Park in Yonkers?
That one, wasn't that one of the first? Now, wasn't that kind of early on in your career when you started getting into finding out about these people that worship Satan and dealt in pedophilia and drugs and stuff like that? Am I right there?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I started getting this information off the street very soon. I started this in February of 1966. And by 1960, before 67 came, we were already finding out, because we also, in the bars and stuff, we were watching the pedophile operations where the pedophile bars were supplying kids. You could see the limousines pulling up and all that and picking up the kids. But then what happened is I had started developing this tremendous intelligence base in the street. Like I said, after I saved that hooker's life, the word was out that I could be trusted and I would, you know, help people. And I got a call to meet this informant, and he took me to Wontemeyer Park. And I never forget it. We pulled up to this spot, and I got out and took three steps down, and we walked down the side of the hill. It was right behind the hospital. And when we got down a ways, there was a building up to the right, and he showed me where they were sacrificing the German shepherds and the children. And this informant was very good, because there were things we did to make sure that his information was accurate. Also, it came into what was known as Van Cortlandt Park, which was up in the Upper Bronx, and what was known as the Valley. They were doing cult stuff there, too. But we already had information on this stuff, but he physically took me and showed me. And back after I retired, after the Son of Sam case and everything, the Yonkers Police Department and Maury Terry, who's the writer who wrote about this, brought me back out, and I took him back to the exact spot. By now, everything had grown over. And when we stopped and they got out, the three steps were right where I said, and I showed them where this was, and re-verified that my information was accurate. So that's the very first time where I was physically taken, and I saw the drawings in the building, you know, the satanic drawings and all that. And that's when I realized that the information I had been picking up off the street was accurate.
Two questions, Jim. Now, first, two-part question. Was the Son of Sam, the 44 Bulldog killer, like Berkowitz, was he ever, to your knowledge, in that park? And secondly, were there ever any higher-up people, say, city council members, congressmen, et cetera, in that park participating in any of those animal sacrifices, to your knowledge? Elaborate on this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we never actually saw anybody in the park. But what it was is the Son of Sam, which is what was finally used, because that was a very small part of this. There were many other deaths tied to this whole culture of the satanic and ritualistic stuff in New York at the time. And when they arrested Berkowitz, who was known as the Son of Sam, it was a good way to shut everything down. And when I got brought back there, I think it was 1992 or 6, and when they found out I was back in New York, they called the sergeant in the Yonkers Police Department and told him to get Jimmy Rothstein the hell out of New York because they didn't need this thing reopened. Because we had everything in that. We knew who was doing what and how it was done. We even made an arrest just to prove that it was there. We arrested a chauffeur who was known to curry kids for big-name people. And we arrested him just to prove that it was real. And in fact, later on when I got brought out there, we knew that one of the women that was involved, in fact, lived with the informant right up in the Bronx.
Well, you know, to the best of your knowledge, Jim, was there any connection between the Son of Sam? I think if I remember right, previous shows, there's this, they call it the Church of Latter-day Judgment, that the Son of Sam, Jeffrey Dahmer, Charles Manson, all these wonderful people were connected to this church. Was any of this might be a far out question, any of this activity that went on in Untamar Park, this is, to your knowledge, are any of those rituals, are they like part indoctrinated in part of this Church of Latter-day Judgment satanic church? Do they?
Well,
is that part? Go ahead.
I'm just trying to think of the name. The Process Church was the proper name of it. It had gotten to start with that. Yes, we followed this thing from that day when I went to Untermeyer Park over the years, all the way across the country, because in 1976, when like I said, there were many murders connected where people were killed ritualistically and all this, but there were these different variations of it and some very big name people. And when they found that we were starting to close in, they started moving west along what we called Interstate 9094, and they ended up settling in Kanab, Utah, under the guise of best friends of animals. We actually followed this across the country. I had informants in it. And just a few years ago, a person who was a victim of it spent 3 weeks here giving me all the names and background information on it. So this thing is still, going on now. Information is still there. The victims are hundreds of them, and there was another New York detective later on that started investigating, and they ended up with a professor from St. Cloud State here that it was known as the Smiley Face Killers, where these kids in the about this time of the year, usually around this full moon and Halloween, you know, there's a whole schedule, and these kids would be out drinking and they end up drowning in the rivers, La Crosse, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, all the way along this route, and it became known as the Smiley Face Killers. So this thing, I've been working on it since 1966.
That's phenomenal. It sounds like, and God bless you, because it sounds like you were first. Well, we hear the music, and I'll ask my question when we get right back, all right?
Okay.
Stay with us, folks.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to serve somebody.
Okay, folks, I hope you're still there. I hope you're hanging on listening to this great story. I'm going to shut up just a second. I'm going to make one quick statement, and I'm going to bring Matt back for his question. But like I said, people, please don't go away, and please send your questions in, because we're going to bring Jim Rothstein back many more times. He's going to be a steady a guest on our show, and some of the things we'll get him to talk about, we won't have time tonight. We're going to get him to talk about John DeCamp, Ted Gunderson, and even Watergate, people. Watergate break-in back in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken, had some connections to this thing. With Reagan and the Reagan and Bush White House, people coming and going to the Reagan Bush White House in the middle of the night with prostitutes, male prostitutes, et cetera, et cetera. And with that, I just want to tease your tease you a little bit. Keep your interest. Keep your interest. And with that, I'm going to go back to Matt. I believe you had a question, son.
Yeah. I've got a couple actually. First off, I commend you because what sounded like just a basic assignment that was given you, you've turned into a lifelong passion of trying to help a vilified and browbeaten group of people. So anyway, I really thank you for what you've done. Also, just a quick question. I think it was 2016 when all this stuff about Pizzagate and spirit cooking and things like that came across different news sources. And of course, all the mainstream media says this has been debunked. This is a quote unquote conspiracy theory. And my question to you is, and right after that, Vladimir Putin came out and said the problem with the West and Western countries is that they're being run by Satanists and pedophiles. So what's your thoughts on those things?
Well, again, I only talk about what I did and was actually involved in. And that was after my time. But what has been described in those cases, Pizzagate and them, mirror many, many of the cases that I had. And just to make one thing perfectly clear so people understand why I was able to do this. At one point, when the department realized that there was a major problem and the level of it, I was cut loose. And I was assigned to a special unit that worked out of the third floor of a factory building. And I was given an unlimited expense account and that type of thing. And I could travel anywhere I needed to go without permission. So otherwise, none of this makes sense. How could a New York cop be all over this country? And I did. I traveled everywhere. And I had the money to do it. I never once paid for information, though. All this information had to be real, factual, and I had to be there. So people understand that. But what this, like this Pizzagate and stuff, the cases that we worked, and there were four major investigations. Every investigation we ever did was shut down, including the final one when the governor of the state of New York appointed me and another detective to the State Select Committee on Crime. And when we identified and served subpoenas on certain people, they invoked national security on us, and we were shut down, and I was retired. So just so everybody knows, this wasn't an accident. And how many people know that the New York Police Department works that way? Not many. I learned because I was in it for 13 years.
It's news to a lot of our audience too. I mean, this is interesting. Were you ever able to, let's say, I know the nature of your business was more clandestine because of what you were doing, but were you ever able to genuinely help a child or a victim of these rings that you were investigating?
Oh my gosh, yes, many, many, many times, and I'd like to, if you want, I can give you some of the most unbelievable cases. Just here a while back, a man called me at 6:30 in the morning, and he says, "Is this Jim Ross?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Oh, my gosh, I've been looking for you for 40 years. You saved my life." He says, "I was a hustler in Times Square, and you saved me and got me on the straight and narrow, and he ended up going in the military and everything." He himself works in this now. But one of the other stories is in the prostitution, and there was a lady by the name of Tina, and she had been kidnapped at 13 out of the South and put into prostitution. And at one point, I needed her to testify. And when I finally found her, she was in a mental institution in Long Island, and when I contacted them, they told me, "Don't bother, she's catatonic for 2 months. We can stick her with pins and shock treatment, and she just sits there." So I says, "Don't worry," and I went there. And when I walked in, I'm making this story short, I walked in, and I go, "Tina, what's going on?" And she says, "Is that you, Mr. Boots?" My street name was Boots. She says, "Help me, help me." And these were the type of things that we worked on and helped people. Many young kids that we got out of it. Yes, and it can be done. It's not that difficult, but first you have to understand what the situation is.
You know, Matt, you mentioned, you asked Jim if he'd ever rescued anybody. Of course, I know if you've known him as long as I have, you would know that. And by the way, he also, I don't know if he does it as a for-profit business, but yes, he's, Matt, you know, an audience, people call Jim Rothstein all the time during the week, all during the week, because they know the man's like an angel. He's an angel that carries a 12-gauge shotgun loaded with double-aught buckshot. And that's the that's one of the reasons that's one of the reasons of his longevity. But yes, and I'd like to toot Jim's horn. Yes, he does that, and he does it to my knowledge out of his own pocket. And he also, and another thing he didn't mention, also Jim has worked like the city, state, and even a federal level, if I'm not mistaken. And Jim, haven't you worked with the feds with the human trafficking and such like that?
Oh, yes. Many of our investigations, in fact, I'll give you the best example. One of the very first cases on human trafficking, we went after the FBI, IRS, Customs, the NYPD, Columbus, Ohio, Minneapolis, Minnesota, went after and we convicted 11 of the 12 biggest pimps in the United States. It has never, ever been done again. And when we got done, everybody was sent to the winds. It was over with because, you know, it was unexpected that we would work together and do it. So I can prove that it works. Yes, we convicted him. The 12th guy, when the word got out, even his own hookers didn't know what happened to him. And he disappeared, and we never found him. So he knew what was coming, because by that time, there had been what was known as a pimp squad that I was running. You know, when the pimp killed the cop, they started a pimp squad. And that's what I had, and that's, you know, was another part of this. So this is, again, stories of what actually has happened. But there were many victims, even within the last, from where I sit right now in my little town here, two young girls were going to be put into human trafficking, and I stopped it. And the city of St. Martin put a resolution. You can look it up on the internet. It's Resolution 2014-08. If you look that up, we passed that resolution on how to fight this human trafficking and stuff. And you know what? There was only one politician in the whole country, and we sent it to the governor of the state of Minnesota, but it went right through the, starting at the county level, right up through the congressmen, senators, and everything, and only one politician ever responded. So if you look that resolution up, if that was to be put in, I would guarantee you human trafficking would drop 85% or so. So,
well, Jim, do you I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But, you know, why can't, and I've had cases just lately where in the local high school here, I went to the superintendent and I told him there's one of your girls is going to be pimped. And he went to the police, and the next thing, they didn't do anything. And first of all, don't blame the cops, because number one, they don't know the facts. And number two, any cop, FBI, IRS, and I can give you names, that does what they should do to the highest levels, their careers are over. Anyhow, this girl ended up being arrested in South Dakota prostituting. Why? There's no reason for it. We had another girl right here in another town about 11 miles away. The same thing happened. And this happens all over the country. I get calls constantly. So, does that answer your question?
Well, people, it's fascinating. Inspector, Jim, we're getting ready to have to let you go. We hear the music, but I will contact you after the show, and we're definitely going to bring you back when I get back from New York because we haven't even scratched the surface of the stories that Jim can tell you about. God bless you, Jim. I'm so glad you survived, and thank you for coming on tonight. We'll be right back, people.
All right.